broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free.
His life for mine, his life for mine.
Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Find that passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It sounds a little funny. The tone of the amplification sounds funny tonight. It does not sound normal, Brother Greg. If we're at normal speed, that's fine, but it just sounds more tinny or something tonight. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and begin with me, verse number 14. We'll stand in just a moment and find that together. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Once you've found that, if you're able, in honor of God's Word, please stand. We're only going to read two verses, verses 14 and 15, 2 Corinthians 12, and I'll begin reading with verse 14. Paul writing, "Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." My title tonight is in the form of a question. Dad, are you all in? Are you all in? Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us tonight. Thank you for truths we learned from your word. Thank you for the men of this church. Thank you for those who've been blessed to be dads. Help us, Lord, to listen carefully tonight to see if your spirit has something to say to us. And Lord, for those who are not dads, for wives and children and young people, I pray that You'll speak to their heart as well and apply the message to every soul in this room. We'll thank You in advance in Jesus' name and amen. Thank You and please be seated. All in has become a popular mantra in these days, meaning are you 100% committed? Are you all in? Was it the White Sox took that as I think their team slogan a while ago? One of the baseball teams, we're all in. It might have been the Cubs. I can't remember. But I've seen it used in other places. Are you all in? Dad, are you all in? I'm talking about in the role of fatherhood. Are you all in? Allow me to be a bit personal at the outset of this message for a few minutes tonight. Today is a milestone day for my wife and me. 40 years ago today, we became husband and wife. So this is our 40th anniversary. Now, to some of you, that's a memory that occurred several years ago. You've been married 50 years, 60 years. I spoke with Gloria Palmateer this morning. She said, happy anniversary. And I said to her, happy anniversary to you as well. Theirs was yesterday, 67 years, almost 70 years of marriage. 40 is a distant memory for Ron and Gloria, okay? For others of you, that's a long-distance hope and goal. You've been married for 10 years, 15 years, maybe less, maybe a little bit more, and 40 seems way out there. I remember celebrating my parents' 40th anniversary as my brothers and I surprised them, and now Dad and Tom are in heaven. One of the things that we did as we came through Columbus, Ohio, we took time to stop by my brother's grave and be there for a few minutes, remember him and his life, and took pictures of the place there where they're building a new high school, and it will be called the Tom Angel High School. And so I took pictures of that, sent it to my mother and to my brother, and it was good to remember Tom for a little while on our trip. But I remember that, and here we are now. We surprised my parents for their 40th, and now here Joyce and I are celebrating our 40th. To celebrate, we enjoyed that 9-day trip this past week and a half. For the first time in 38 years and 3 months, we went on a trip together without the underlying concern that parents have for children who are under their care. Does that make sense to you as parents? Okay. We have gone on trips together before. We've even gone out of the country to Argentina together. Ryan, you remember that. But, no matter if it was Joyce and I by ourselves, if there was a child at home who was still under our care, there was an underlying concern for that kid. So from March the 7th, 1981, until this past April 13th, there has been at least one child under our care that's occupied some of our thoughts, some of our attention, some of our concerns. But with Cherith's marriage to Isaiah on this trip, for the first time, our kids were in someone else's care. Or they were carrying the load of care for their own families. All four of our girls were under the care and responsibility of a husband. And that gives me great peace. Our boys are already established in their families. And I think every parent knows what I'm talking about. You know, absolutely, we still care for our 6 kids. And now their spouses and the 16 grandchildren. And we prayed for them together on the trip several times by name. But I'm going to tell you, we were able to enjoy this trip in a different way, because there were no kids back home that were directly under our care. Am I with you? Do you understand? Are we together? It was a good trip, except for one subway ride. I forget where it was. It was a little crowded. And I was standing there, and Joyce had a seat, and this woman in her 40s looked up at me, and she said, sir, you can have my seat. I thought, really, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. I looked at that. Oh, my goodness, that was very humiliating, I'll tell you. And I don't, did I sit down or did I? I did. Okay, so I sat down. You want to give it up? That's great. I'll sit down. And let me say this. And this wasn't in the, but listen, our country's going to hell in the handbag in a hurry. But it was encouraging to me. We went to 4 museums, a play, and a ball game. We went to the Fenway Park to see the Red. We met her brother and our sister, her brother and his wife. And went to Fenway Park to a ball game. It was fantastic, wonderful. But we went to 4 museums and a play. We went to the Sight and Sound play that you teenagers saw on Jesus, okay? We went to the Ark, and we went to the Bible Museum, Museum of the Bible, downtown Washington, D.C. You come out the door, you're a five-minute walk from the Washington Monument. 4 stories, first class, beautiful, nothing but the Bible. The Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Where else in the world can you do that? Where can you go to 3 things? The Ark, first class. If you haven't been there, go. It's good for your children to see. It's good for you to see it. If you can get to D.C., go to the Museum of the Bible. In the middle of the swamp, as our president calls it, here is a museum dedicated to God's Word. It was tremendous. We had a wonderful time. And for the first time, we were without kids under our care, because for the last 38 years, 3 months and 6 days, we were spending and being spent for our kids. Spending and being spent. Now, Paul uses the parent-child relationship to describe his relationship with the church at Corinth. Paul founded the church at Corinth. You can read about that in Acts chapter 18. He went there on his second missionary journey. People were saved as he witnessed and preached, and then they were baptized and organized into an assembly, a local assembly, which is what a New Testament church is. This book, 2 Corinthians, is a letter that God gave to Paul to write to that church. And Paul mentions in verse number 14, hey, I am coming to visit you. I'm coming to see you. Then he says this, he is not coming for sake of a love offering. He is not coming to gain anything from them. He is coming to benefit them, to help them. And he uses the parent-child analogy. He said the children do not lay up for the parents lay up for the children. Now, everybody knows there are cases where children have helped their parents materially. Those type of things happen. But parents, in most cases, help their kids materially. So Paul is not coming to gain. Paul is coming to give. Then he says in verse number 15, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. I'll be all in for you. Now, folks, being spent is a step further than just giving something to them. Paul is saying, look, I'm not only willing to spend for you, I am willing to be spent for you. There is a difference in that. There are times when we might be willing to help somebody, but they are not close enough to us that we are willing to hurt ourselves to help them. Does that make sense to you? But there are other times when people are close enough to us, we're willing to help them, and if need be, we're willing to hurt ourselves in order to help them. We're willing to spend and to be spent. So Paul said to this church, I will be glad. I am looking forward to helping you. And if in the course of helping you, I get hurt, that's okay. I am willing to spend and be spent. I have used this illustration before, so those of you that have been here will have seen this. This is a candle. Now, this candle's main purpose for the candle's existence is to provide light. Okay, so if this room were darkened, if the lights were off in here and the room was darkened, this candle would be providing light. Not much, but some. Not only does it provide light, it gives off a little bit of warmth if you are close enough. So it is spending for people. It is giving light for people who are in darkness. It might be giving a little bit of warmth for people who are also cold. But the thing to understand here, people, about this candle, not only is this candle spending, it is being spent. It's being consumed. Because the longer that flame burns, the hole goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And if we kept that flame going long enough, eventually the time would come when that candle would completely be spent out. It is spending and it is being spent. Now, this is what Paul said he was willing to do for the church at Corinth. And by way of illustration, he said it's what parents do for their kids. Now, I've arrived at the point of my message, this being Father's Day. On Dad's Day, it is important for all of us, especially for you with kids at home still under your care, men. It's important for you young men who someday want to have a wife and who someday want to have children of your own. It's important for dads to understand that this is the essence of being a dad. Spending and being spent. Look, just about any male can father a child, can reproductively bring a child into this world. But it takes a man to be a dad. It takes a man to spend and be spent for his kids. It takes a man to bring them up in this world. You know, I look back at my childhood. I mentioned this morning, it's my first Father's Day without my dad here on earth. Others of you have been there, done that for years and years. I look back at my childhood. I do not remember hearing a clock go off at 4 o'clock in the morning. I do not remember every day, Monday through Friday, I do not remember hearing the car pull out of the driveway at the little house on West Ridge Avenue. I don't remember the car pulling out of the garage on Linfield Court. But every morning, unless he was on a different shift, when I got up, Dad's car was gone. Whether summer or winter, spring or fall, day after day, he was gone to work. Why? To provide, to spend, and be spent for his family. And when he arrived home, approximately 5:30 in the evening, that was his day. About 5:30 in the evening, sometimes a little later, he would go and he would go outside with us boys and he would shoot baskets with us, or he'd throw the ball with us, or we'd play around in the yard a little bit, we'd have supper, and then he'd get up the next day and do it over again. And then on Saturday, he'd have breakfast with us, and we'd get up and we would work in the yard, and he taught us how to mow, and he taught us how to run the edger without an engine on it. Elbow grease. Run the edger down the sidewalk and trim the bushes with the things that you have to work at rather than just... We did that over and over. We worked in the yard. We worked in the garden. We raked leaves. He'd take us to the lake fishing. You know what Dad's life was? Spending and being spent. Dad was all in. A young man, look, if you don't want to be all in, don't take a wife. And don't have any children. We got too much of that in America today. Way, way too much of it. It's killing us. This is what I'm talking about here, okay? Spending and being spent. He was not only giving of his life, his life was being consumed on behalf of his wife and his children. Dad was all in. I know you want a wife someday, fellas. I did too. But, you know, keep in mind, the life you desire is not for yourself. It is for the woman you marry and the children you bring into this world. I am appalled at this me-first, video-playing, game-playing, all-about-me daddyhood we have today. It's not about your wife. And it's not about your kids. And I'm not talking about young boys, young men in their late teens and early 20s. I'm talking about quote-unquote men in their 30s who spend hours playing video games while their kids are just going crazy. They're not all in when it comes to fatherhood. When it comes to fatherhood, you got to be all in. You got to be willing to spend and to be spent. And Paul said he would gladly do it. He would gladly spend and be spent. So dads, when you get weary, when you are tempted to think, man, I never have any time for myself. I never do anything just for me. Remember to be glad, to be very glad you have a wife and kids to live for. Very glad. Now, I think, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, men never do it. I think most men find time and money to do some things for themselves. I get that, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. But the shame, look, a mother, almost all mothers are all in. Because the nature of being a mother demands it. But there's a lot of dads who are not all in. They're not all in. The shame today is men who do most everything for themselves with very little thought of being spent, spending and being spent for their wives and their kids. Now, what does spend and be spent mean today for a husband and a dad? Can I just say four simple things? Number one, it means go to work. It means go to work. And when you go to work, don't complain about it. It's okay to want a better job. It's okay to want to improve your situation, but don't complain about the responsibility of work. Men, it's part of spending and being spent for your family. Not to mention the good it does you and me as a man to have some work to do. Go to work and remember, God gave Adam work to do before He gave him a wife, before He gave him kids. So go to work. Go to work faithfully. Don't put your job in jeopardy because of laziness. Don't put your job in jeopardy because of not being punctual. Don't put your job in jeopardy doing less than you should do. Because it's not just for you. It's for them. It's for your wife. It's for your kids. Work faithfully. Work hard. That's part of being willing to spend and be spent. And do it gladly. Do it gladly. That's part of fatherhood. Number two, take care of your wife. Take care of your wife. Gentlemen, she is not a possession. She is a partner. She is a soulmate. She may be a strong woman, but she still needs a man to provide for her. So you love her and protect her. A man wants to marry somebody because he loves, marry a certain lady because he loves her. But you know, he also needs to marry because the Bible says he needs a wife. Take care of her. You need her. The Bible says, well, I don't need her. The Bible says you need her. You're not complete without her. So you take care of your wife. She needs you, you need her. Number three, if you're going to spend and be spent, provide and care for your kids. Provide and care for your kids. Provide leadership, wisdom, knowledge, love, discipline. Provide food and clothing and lodging. Provide security and stability and safety. Provide time and concern and interest. Dad, this is our life. Now, if you're not into that, you're not all in. That's what being a dad is all about. Spend and be spent. It's for wife. It's for family. It's for kids. So take care of your wife. Provide and care for your children. Number four, to spend and be spent means to love God. Love God above all others. Love God above all else. Obey Him. Follow Him. That's the greatest thing you can do for your wife and your kids. Live for Him. I've used it before. I don't want to beat it to death. But I love that verse over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Later on in that chapter, Paul talks about take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself. Now wait a minute. When he says thou shalt both save thyself, he's not talking about soul salvation. Can you and I save ourselves? No. What he's talking about there is, Timothy, if you want to salvage yourself, you want to salvage your ministry, you want to salvage your influence, you want to salvage your future, Timothy, take heed to yourself. You say, that sounds kind of selfish, to take heed to yourself. Isn't this the opposite of what you are preaching? Man, if we don't love, the greatest thing I can do, Paul goes on to say, not only you will save yourself and them that hear thee. Now, Timothy's a pastor. And so Paul tells Timothy, you make sure that you take care of yourself and your relationship to God, because if you do that, you will not only salvage your influence and salvage your ministry and salvage your future, you will benefit those that hear you. Now, you take that same principle and apply it to fatherhood. The greatest thing every husband can do for his wife is to make sure that he's right with God. You can't do anything better for your wife than make sure you're right with God. And the greatest thing a dad can do for his kids is to make sure that he's right with God. Look, if I'm not right with God, I am a hindrance to my wife and my children. I can't be all in if I'm not right with God myself. So you love God and you pursue God. You know, it didn't dawn on me yesterday till the very end of the marriage ceremony, when I was sitting over here and waiting for the marriage license signing. And the decorations were very simple, but they were very, 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 very profound. And I looked up here, and Brother Matt built that arch. And I sat there and I said, that's the triangle. That's the triangle. And the stabilization behind it to keep it in place was like a shadow on the ground. And I thought, that's the triangle. That's what I always draw. For every couple that comes for marriage counseling, I draw the triangle. And I show them, you got man over here and you got woman over here. And they say that marriage is, you know, where man and woman become one. So if man and woman are going to become one, man has to come over here and meet the woman halfway. So man has to be 50% woman and woman has to be 50% man. That's not going to happen. I don't want a 50% man for a wife. I want 100% woman. And all that goes with it, both good and bad. Okay, let's keep moving. Okay, and you men, you ladies don't want a 50% woman for a husband. All right. So if marriage is coming together as one, then how in the world are you going to get this man and this woman together as one? And at the top of the triangle, I write God's name in the process of pursuing the will of God. As the man pursues God and as the woman pursues God, the natural thing that happens is that's where they find true unity. In the pursuit of God. That was the triangle. It was emblematic, symbolic yesterday of what Anna and Ethan's responsibility is now as husband and wife. Their responsibility is not each other first. Their responsibility is God first. God first. And as the direct result of that is they will be closer. And fellas, let's talk about us being all in our marriage relationship. The number one thing we've got to do is love God. Love God. Are you all in as a dad? Did you bring children into this world and then you just pursued your own interests? Pursued your own will? Pursued your own hobbies? Look, that doesn't work. You love God. Love God above all others. That's the greatest thing that you and I can do for our wives and our children. It's the number one part of being all in. Go to work. Take care of your wife. Provide for your wife and kids. And love God. Surround it all with this great big love of God and love for God. And you'll be all in. Spend and be spent. Spend and be spent. Now, the number one hindrance, to spending and being spent is selfishness. That's the number one hindrance. There is no way this candle can be a light for others without consuming itself. So if this candle had any concern for itself, it could not do what it was supposed to do for others. Does that make sense to you? This candle has no thought of itself right now. You can't see it, but I can. There is a hole in the top of this candle big enough to put a quarter in there, maybe three or four quarters. And that thing's only been burning for the last 7 or 8 minutes. I haven't been preaching that long. You know that. No, it's been burning a little longer than that. That thing's being consumed. It's not just spending. It's being spent. So the candle has no thought of itself. No thought for itself. And dad, there's no way a dad will properly spend and be spent for his wife and children if he's selfish. Put away selfishness. And can I ask you tonight, do it gladly. Do it gladly. Be glad you had that opportunity. And ladies, can I say this to you tonight, you wives, if you have a husband who gladly spends and is willing to be spent for you and your children, treat him well. Encourage him. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. It's tough at work. It's heavy sometimes carrying the load. Encourage him. Speak up to him. Respect him. Promote him in the eyes of your children. Don't ever speak down to him in front of your kids. Don't ever do that. Build him up in their eyes. If you have a man who is willing to spend and be spent. So, Dad, are you all in? You young, we're done. They're gone. Except for Mom. Amen. She'll be moving out hopefully in a few weeks here. Amen. But they're gone. And we're done. We're done. But I hope I can look back over 38 plus years of gladly spending and being spent. I hope I was all in. I hope you are too. Let's pray together. Father, bless the message to the dads, especially tonight, to the hearts of our men. I thank you for them. I look out into their faces and I see men that have difficult jobs and tough circumstances and do well at work. I see men, Lord, who carry heavy responsibility. I see men who have responsibility over others at work, and that's never easy. I see men who are carrying heavy loads and burdens. I see men who are willing to spend and be spent for their wives and children. I pray for the dads, the men of Faith Baptist Church, who are married and have children. I pray that you'll help them to be all in. I pray for these young men who sit in the services here and look forward to someday having a wife and children. Lord, may they understand it's more than just a kiss and a date. It's a lifetime of spending and being spent. Father, bless this message to our hearts today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Who would say tonight, Pastor, somewhere through the course of the message, the Spirit of God challenged my heart on the thought of spending and being spent as a dad. As a dad, let's talk to the dads for a minute. As a dad, I want to be all in. And God spoke to me about that tonight. Would you lift your hand, men, if you're in the room? God bless you. I see your hands. Amen. Now, maybe you're a wife. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you don't have a wife yet. You're a young man looking for the day you get married. It's spend and be spent. That's what it is. And you gladly go into it. Is there anybody else tonight? Wives, girls, boys, children. You say, Pastor, somewhere throughout the message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I want to raise my hand and ask for prayer tonight. Anybody else while I pray, before I pray? Yes. God bless you. Amen. All right. If you're not saved tonight, come and tell Brother Mick at the front, I need to be saved. If you need to get baptized, you obey the Lord in that. Father in heaven, help our men tonight. May we be willing to be all in when it comes to our families. May we be willing to spend and be spent. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. The altar will be open for just a little bit. Just the piano playing softly for a moment or two here. Just the piano playing softly. I'll be very gladly spend and be spent. And Dad, are you all in tonight? And look, I'm no saint. I can remember times when I thought to myself, good grief. It's always something for the kids. It's always something with the kids. It's always something, yeah. But dads need to be willing to spend and be spent. Be all in, Dad. You won't regret it. You will not regret it if you'll be all in. Spend and be spent. Help. If in the process of helping you hurt yourself, that's okay. It's for your wife. It's for your kids. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day set aside every year to celebrate the fatherhood and these men that are dads. I rejoice with them. God, please give us many more mighty men of God in homes who are willing to spend and be spent for their children, their family, their wife. May they be all in when it comes to fatherhood and help our nation. And Lord, may we see a call to return to that principle of spending and being spent, being all in. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.